national scene. Let's move back to some of the things that happened with the Black Panther Party. And one of the things a lot of people didn't know is that we had a musical group, a vocal group, that sang its songs based on some of the contemporary hits of the time. But what they did, they transformed those tunes so that they carried the social consciousness within their music. Some of the members were Clark Bailey, Bill Calhoun, Michael Torrence, who sang with backup to Marvin Gaye. And of those members now, in the audience we have James Mott, who is one of the lead singers for The Lumpin'. And James is going to walk us through an interview and a musical background, the revolutionary vocal group, The Lumpin'. So we're going to have James Mott and Ricky Benson.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the Black Panther Party is very proud to present The Lumpin'.
Okay, how's everybody doing? Yeah, my name is Ricky Benson, and I feel like I'm following a James Brown performance, trying to follow Bobby Seale and the other speaker. That was something else. But I was asked to come and discuss The Lumpin', and I wanted to give you a little background on the group before I bring up one of the members of The Lumpin'. It was only due to some scheduling conflicts that the other members couldn't be here. I just wanted to let you know that because these brothers was dedicated revolutionaries, rank and file members of the Black Panther Party. And in their adult lives, they're still very consistent with those beliefs. And so it was a beautiful thing coming across these brothers. If you notice this music, if anybody's old school, that's a James Brown song. That is a song called There Was a Time. And it was one of his most grooving songs. And they utilize it as part of their message for the people, message of revolution. And they were created out of the Black Panther Party. Emery Douglas, David Hilliard said, "You guys can sing really well in your party work. Why don't you become a rhythm and blues band and put the message of the party out to the people?" And so that's what they did. So I wanted you to hear just a little bit of that song, and then a minute or two of this next song. It's called People Get Ready, but it's a different version than Curtis Mayfield. It's Curtis Mayfield's song, it's a little bit different. So I want y'all to listen for a second. If you can turn it up just a little bit.
Respectfully dedicate this song.
I just wanted y'all to get a sense of how they can harmonize with the rhythm and blues tradition, and yet what they're singing about is in the pocket with the Huey P. Newton Black Panther Party position, which set them apart from any other rhythm and blues band ever. There were some great bands that could rouse the people, and there have been some great speakers that can inspire the people. And the Lumpin', for about a year, from the middle of 1970 to middle of 1971, performed this duty for the Black Panther Party. And before anything else, I want to introduce one of the members of the Lumpin', Mr. James Mott. You think that is fine? So there they are on the left. I believe that's James Mott, William Calhoun, Michael Torrance, and Clark Bailey. The Lumpin'.
I want to thank you, Ricky, and it's an honor to be here today. I don't know if many of you caught Ricky's show on Friday. I was honored to be there to talk about the Lumpin'. And I want everybody to understand how important music and lyrics and the message of music is. Of course, get a little bit of history. I came from Sacramento, California. And one reason why Ronald Reagan was so informed at that time is I used to make sure that he would get a paper every week. So he knew exactly what the party was doing. And it was Jesse Unruh who said, we're feeding more kids in the Black Panther. The Black Panther Party is feeding more kids in the U.S. government. After coming to Oakland, it was interesting because I was singing around Central Headquarters one day, and Emory Douglas, the Minister of Culture, heard me and said, you know, we're trying to put something together here because culture and music and pictures and words go together. So we were able to rehearse, and Bill Calhoun was one of our songwriters. Michael and I, we worked on a lot of the choreography. But we at that time, first of all and foremost, were Panthers. We still performed our duties. We still did what we were asked to do. But we had an opportunity to get the message out through music. I remember when Bobby was bound and gagged and kidnapped, and we came out with the song, Bobby Must Be Set Free. And we were later informed that the 45, which is a collector's item, you can't hardly find anywhere in the world. People are on the internet searching for it. It was the number one seller in Europe. And we weren't even pressing them out, so somebody was. But it was because of what was happening at the time with the music. We had an opportunity to travel all over the nation. We had an opportunity to perform in front of schools, individuals. I remember we performed at the People's Revolutionary Constitutional Convention in D.C., which they estimated the crowd was anywhere from 300,000 to a half a million people. And the idea was to get the message of the party out and get the music out in terms of what was happening. And each song actually depicted a particular situation in our community or something that was taking place at the time. And the idea here was to continue to have the ability to get words out in music. Everyone here knows how music or lyrics can influence someone's thinking. If we're talking negative, we're going to have negative behavior, which is part of the problem of today. Many people, many artists, including Chaka Khan, who was a party member of Chicago, talks about in her book, The Music. And many other artists, like the Shylights, For God's Sake, Power to the People. We can humbly say that we had an influence, and still today, influence many of your rap artists, Boots Riley and the Coup, Mos Def, the list goes on. And they call it party music, not the dance vibe, but music that actually has a message, that is a motivational means for taking a look at what we're all faced with. Conditions that existed then are even more prolific than they were at that point in time, and everyone wants answers. And we still feel today that music is an important way of getting that message across. I know that we have the opportunity to do shows on the East Coast. The Minister of Culture, Emory Douglas, accompanied us through the Midwest. And the idea, again, was to use music of the party as a message. We found that a lot of people who might not necessarily listen to a speaker at the time would want to listen to the music. And it led a lot of people, in listening to the various songs, wanting to learn about the Black Panther Party, the 10-point platform and program, and all the other things that made the organization effective throughout the nation. And we were informed, even as of today, all over the world, the music is still being played, in some respects studied as how music in the message and music can be used to actually motivate young people to help solve community problems and issues, just to get a correct mindset as far as where we want to go and what is the next step and the next level. Because as we all know, the struggle continues. You know, we all came from different parts of the community, but we came together with a common message. And the idea, I was hoping that Michael Torrance, who's in LA, Mike went on, he's the guy in the middle with the hat, the fedora hat. He went on for a while to sing with Marvin Gaye, and he wrote with Motown, and he wrote a beautiful song called The Legacy. And I hope that all of you can log on to the website. If you haven't got a card on the website, you go back there to the table with our party historian, Bill Jennings, and it'll tell you to log on there and hear this beautiful song. And perhaps one day we hope that we can continue the music of inspiration. But the Lumpin' itself was a concept that lasted for a period of time, about a year and a half. We were still doing some performances in the community. But it wasn't like we had a lot of rehearsal time. It wasn't like we could stop what we were doing. Our first and foremost duty was allegiance to the community and our duties with the Black Panther Party. Whether we got up and sold papers, whether we did a breakfast program, whether we were at central headquarters, or whether we were bringing people in from all over the nation who wanted to start chapters and branches by picking up the airport. Sometimes our days would go 15, 16 hours. I think that picture that you saw of us standing by the fence, we weren't trying to look hard or look mean. We were tired. We had been up all night working with the newspaper. We had also come back into the breakfast program, and we had just finished a political education class, and they asked us to take a picture. So we did. I think we got a couple hours after that sleeping, then hit it again. But I want everybody to understand that at that point in time of history, and even now, the message in the music really means something. And we were able to actually put together 6 songs, which I hope that we'll be able to offer to everybody over the internet because of this historical information. It's not from the master copy, the master tape. For some reason, it has disappeared. No one knows where it is. We figure that the federal government does have the master copy of the Merritt College tape. But we were still able to garnish 6 songs, and hopefully we'll be able to make those available to everyone, not only as individuals, but the schools for study and for music departments. So, you know, the whole concept, the gentleman over there, we had a couple of white men, one of them over there playing the horn, he's still here today, Dr. David Levinson, he's in a trauma center out there. He's very proud of being part of that. And the idea here with a lot of people throughout the total community, the word lumpin' or lumpin' proletariat means the average, everyday brother and sister. The hardworking people who are the blue collar or the people who live in the community. The very people that Emory showed in his drawings who said no more. The very people who were suffering. We gave them the message of hope through song. And like I said again, historically speaking, I want to give credit to Ricky Benson here. He also has a dissertation soon to become a published book called The Lumpin' on the Front Line of Revolutionary Music. And if you ever have a chance to read it, it's not just because I'm talking about this because I happen to be a member of The Lumpin'. Even if I wasn't, he actually put together a very concise historical concept of the music of the party, how it played into decisions that were made, and a great overall view of the party, and how it influenced many musicians during that era, and how it is still influencing musicians of today. And I am really just very happy, very humble, and very proud to have been a part of making that happen. So I just want to thank everyone for allowing me to be here to have this short talk this evening. Again, go on our website. It's About Time. We call it the alumni website. It's About Time, BPP.com, and soon you will see that CD on there. So I just want to thank every one of you. And remember, it's still up to each and every one of us to talk to someone, to spread the information, to spread the word, because the struggle still continues. Thank you very much.
Those pictures on the wall, you should know that Emory Douglas designed those as well. As many as we saw the designs he had, he also designed that full page advertisements for the Lumpen and everything else as the Minister of Culture. And I want to give him some respect for what he did then and what he's doing now. All right, so yes, check out that website. And I'm on KPFA Fridays at 10 o'clock if y'all don't know about that, doing the Panther music and the funk. Thank you very much. Power to the people.